Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
That would be awesome. Sorry. I've got a hair on me. I look like I'm up here dealing with a spider or something, but it's really a hair that's stuck on me. Well, I had asked to keep the youth down here this evening because it's the end of their school year. We have one graduate in the house, which is Lavakua. Woohoo! We've known Lavakua since he was like 4 or 5, something like that. And so we got to see him grow up, and he's been a blessing to this house, even as he's taken on drumming and learned that, and he's become a great drummer. But congratulations, Lava, and it's so awesome to getting ready to step into your adult years. It's a big deal. But I had asked for it this evening because I know this is such an important message. I wish someone had taught me this when I feel like I got snippets of it along the way, just kind of like people giving maybe information, or you figure it out as you listen to sermons, beginning to piece things together through life. But I really wish someone would have handed me this when I was your age. Because everybody's under 30 tonight, right? That's how we're identifying tonight. So this is really, besides your decision to follow Christ, this is one of the most important things I believe that you will hear that can really determine the course for your life. And so I really wanted to give this to those that were still in high school, and those in college, and those, of course, you know, all of us can use it, but especially if you're young, man, it can set the course of your life and do a dramatic a shift for blessing upon your life. So let's just pray before we get started this evening. And let's just get our hearts and our minds and our notebooks ready. Take notes. If you're taking it on your phone or in your journal, take notes tonight, because you may not ever have the opportunity to hear this message again. But you can go back on your notes and look, because you won't remember everything that's being said. And so it's good to write those things down so that you can go back and look at it. So let's just just lay hands on your phone and on your notebook tonight. I just want to pray that the anointing of this message sticks with you, and even over time, when you go back and look at it, it still has the impact later as you look at it. Father, I thank you for just this word that I feel that you've given me for this group of people tonight. I pray for long-lasting effect. I pray for the anointing to come upon it, for it to be used, Father, in their life, in a way that changes their life, and it changes even family trees from this point forward. I pray, Father, that you would even anoint the words that they're writing on paper, that even through the years, the generations, that as they go back and look at it, it will inspire them to make those choices that need to be made in the right moments, that it will turn them onto the right paths, and it will guide them and lead them by according to your Holy Spirit and by your word. I pray, Father, that everybody's mind tonight is clear, ready to receive, and that the word of God is rooted in their heart, not to be plucked up by the enemy, but they shall keep it, they will guard it all of their days. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, I want to start out by laying a little bit of groundwork first so that you understand where I'm going with this word tonight. And this is the law of seasons. the law of seasons. I know that probably doesn't sound very exciting, but it is. If you will get this law, you guys understand laws, right? There's laws that we don't always see, but they have a great impact, like the laws of gravity, right? It has a huge impact on your life. If something is thrown out that window, it's going to go down. It's going to hit the ground because of the law of gravity. It's in place, and you may not necessarily see it until it's activated, and then it's like, okay, that's the law of gravity. It's in place, and there's nothing that can go against that. Well, this is the law of seasons, and there are laws that are established in the spiritual realm, and they can dictate lives and courses. And so we need to understand the law of seasons. And so let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be the signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Then he set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." And so we see, even in the very beginning, that God created lights to govern the days, the stars, the moon, the sun, to govern the day and the night, to govern the seasons and the times. And so this has gone through generations. It's never changed. We use the sun and the moon. We use the stars. We use these seasons to govern our day and our night, our seasons, our years. As years go by, we see a cycle of things that happen through these seasons. We live in a four-season state, so we see every season that there is. And so we have the benefit of understanding how those seasons work, where in some places they may only have two seasons. They may have wet and dry, or they may just have hot and a little cooler, and that's it. You know, they might not have the winter season. But understanding that there are things on earth that point to spiritual things that are laws in the spirit. So I want you to turn over with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. And so we see here that what is the main theme of this passage? What's the repeated word here? Time. Time. And so we see here that there is a time for everything. And you know, even this idea here, you know, I'm going to take one of these and use it as an example. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You know, at our last staff meeting on Maui, Pastor Josh was correcting some of the staff, because Because when you come together on Maui during staff meeting or during conference, you know, different people are coming in on different days. And so sometimes they may not see each other. They may not see one another until they get there at the conference. And so you're in the middle of praise and worship, and then you see somebody and everybody's clapping and everything. And then you make eye contact with somebody. And then you're like, hey, and you run over and give him a quick hug. And he's like, this is a culture. Hawaii has a culture of honor, and it's a good thing. And Christians have a culture of love, and that's a good thing. But he says, but when we're in the moment of praise and worship, we need to be glorifying God and not putting our focus on people. And so he said, it becomes a dishonorable thing whenever we all of a sudden quit glorifying God in this moment that we have spanned out for him. And now we're all of a sudden going over, how's it been? I haven't seen you for a while. Yeah, get a hold of me sometime. And then, you know, run back over to your place. Because many times those people haven't seen each other for you know, months or maybe even a year. And so they're like, hey. And anytime you see someone in Hawaii culture, it is part of the culture to go and greet them physically. And so he was saying, it's a wonderful thing, but there's a time to refrain and there's a time to embrace. And in the moment of praising and worshiping God, keep your eyes focused on God and give him the honor that is due. And so it kind of reminded me of this passage of scripture, that there are times and seasons for everything. And this time idea, I want you to understand the difference. This was written in Hebrew, we understand that. The New Testament was written in Greek. But these two words, actually, in the Greek and Hebrew, they have two different meanings. The word time is chronos, and it means a time that continues to go on. It's an ongoing time. So we see the ongoing time of the year, of the cycle of the days and nights, right? It goes on, and tomorrow we're going to see the sun rise, and the sun will set, and then it will happen again, right? It's an ongoing time. But this other word, season, is kairos. And this word kairos means an opportune time, a designated time, an appointed time. It's not a time that goes on and on and on. It's a season of time. It has a beginning and it has an end. It has an open door and then it has a closed door. So when spring begins to hit in our weather system, you know, we go through winter, right? And then spring begins to come, bringing warm weather, bringing rain, the trees begin to bud. We see certain things in springtime. In the season of spring, we see certain things. It brings along with it certain characteristics, right? And a lot of that is the rain. A lot of that is, you know, the weather starts warming up. So it's conducive to new things being budded and starting to emerge through the earth. It's the time of digging deep and gaining roots and going deeper with their roots. But the things that happen in springtime is different than what happens in summertime. How are the summers here? Hot, right? Are they as wet? Not quite. We can get some thunderstorms, right? But for the most part, it's not as rainy in the summer. So if that plant doesn't take the opportunity to grow deep in the season of spring, then it's going to be harder for that plant to make it in the summer because it will dry up. If its roots do not grow deep in the springtime, then in the summer, and it says, you know what, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I want to grow my roots. I like feeling, you know, I've got enough rain. This season has enough rain for me. It's springtime. The rain's here. I'm just going to take it easy. I'm going to lean back. I'm not going to grow roots right now. But when the summer, and the thing is, during the springtime, it will look fine. But what happens in the summertime? The lack of wisdom of that plant not growing roots, even though it looks fine in the spring, When summer comes, that lack of wisdom begins to show. Now that lack of wisdom is exposed. Oh, you didn't grow roots. Now you're starting to dry up. Now you're starting to wilt because your roots didn't go deep enough to the water sources. And so these ideas of seasons, every season comes with advantages. Every season comes with its characteristics. In fact, we can even take summer season and create irrigation, right? We can take our water hose out there. We can make irrigation hoses and put them out there for our plants and make that happen. So we can create systems to overcome the season if we have the right wisdom. But if we don't have that wisdom, or if we don't have the resources, the hose, the irrigation system, then we won't be able to overcome that season. Is this making sense? So with every season, even in the spiritual sense, if we don't take the opportunities in the moments that those seasons are there for, where there's a special grace on that season for you to overcome or for you to grow, then you could miss that opportunity. And when summer comes, now all of a sudden, it became very difficult in that season. Or fall comes and it's very difficult in that season now because that grace isn't there in that season. See, we're not all 10 now. We're not in a place where mom takes care of us, right? Most of you, I think, are above 10. At 10, people are usually taking care of you for the most part. They drive you where you need to go. They drop you off. They pick. You don't really have too many worries. You know, you might make a sandwich for yourself from time to time, but for the most part, your meals are taken care of. Your rent's taken care of. Like, everything's taken care of. You don't have too many concerns. But when you're 25 or 30, you can't continue to live like you're 10. Because now it's going to show. What? You're how old and you've never made a sandwich? What, you're how old and you don't know how to go shopping for yourself? You don't know how to feed yourself? What happened? So there's seasons. We would look at that and say, oh, well, every 30-year-old should be able to feed themselves. Every 30-year-old should be able to cook for themselves. Because as they grow, they have a natural desire to want to do those things most of the time. But if we don't take those opportunities when it comes out of season, then all of a sudden we realize the lack of wisdom we may have had if we didn't apply ourselves during those seasons. And so while you're young, if you will take the wisdom of what's going on here and this idea of seasons, and if you will train your mind and your heart and your spirit to discern the seasons that come before you, then you won't be in a position to where you find yourself later with a closed door because you missed a season of opportunity. What do those seasons look like? Because sometimes I think we think these seasons look, you know, like magical, and you know, they've got arrows pointing straight at them and these big neon lights saying, right here is the open door to this season. And it's not often like that, because what happens many times are these seasons actually take sacrifice or work. These seasons many times might have an element of inconvenience. It might not even be something that glamorous that you really want to do, but it's the gateway to your promotion. It's the gateway to you accelerating. It's the gateway for you to be able to receive the credentials spiritually, physically, mentally, for what it is that you want to do. Let's take, for instance, you guys are all Bible students, yeah? You know the story about Joseph? And the he spends time in fact, Pastor Brad just talked about it the other day, so it should be a little bit of a refresher. Joseph was in prison, right? Until what? What happened that brought Joseph out of prison? Yeah. Pharaoh needed somebody to interpret his dreams. And he had two dreams, right? And they were dreams. One was about fat cows and lean cows. And the other was about the fat ears of corn and the ears of corn that didn't look so good. And so these two dreams, he was stumped by it. And he's like, what is the meaning of these dreams? And then all of a sudden, somebody remembers. Oh, there's this guy in prison. He interprets dreams. So they bring Joseph out. This moment is a Kairos moment for Joseph. This is his opportune moment. Now is his moment to discern and to interpret the dreams for Pharaoh. But not only interpret, but to bring wisdom to the problem. If Joseph, and he actually tells, you know, he says, well, these dreams have been established. That's why you had them two different times in two different ways. So they're not going to change. This is not something you can pray about and make it change. These things have been established by God. The word says this. These things have been established by God, and they're not going to change. These things will come to pass. So there are seasons in life that we cannot change. We all were born babies. None of us, you know, popped out as adults. And just, well, here I am. I'm 30-year-old me, ready to go. Why? Because there's an order about some things, certain things. And so that's a type of season. It's the season of life. And so he says these seasons cannot be changed. They cannot be prayed about. They are ordered. They are established. And he says, but they mean that this season, there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of leanness, not enough, scarcity. These two seasons represent two different types of seasons in our life. The season of abundance, the season of opportunity, the season when there's more than enough and there's a grace to excel, and then there's the season of scarcity where the things around us aren't providing this grace to do, this opportunity to excel. Now, does it mean that we're trapped and we can't do anything about it? Joseph's story tells us no. But what did Joseph do? He had to build a system out of wisdom to overcome this season of scarcity. So what he had to do is take the wisdom of God. So what did Joseph do all of those years? This is what I want you to get a hold of. What did Joseph do all of those years before he stood before Pharaoh? See, this Kairos moment depended upon everything else back here. So from the time he was young, having dreams himself, dealing with his brothers, being sold into slavery, working for Potiphar, dealing with Potiphar's wife, thrown in prison, in the dungeon, all of these moments, these years, he was faithful to God. And he spends time with God. How can I do this sin against my God? So he's spending time with the Lord, learning of his wisdom. When this Kairos moment comes, he's not like, oh, I don't know. Gosh, Pharaoh, I don't know. That's a tough one. Pharaoh would be like, get this joker out of here. What do you mean he interprets dreams? But instead, he was ready. Why was he ready? Because he was prepared. He had prepared himself during the Kronos time, during the time of cycles when it just seemed like regular moments, during the time when it was just like, what is going on? What am I doing? Why does this seem just so repetitive? And I'm just being thrown back into prison. Why is this coming against me? But when that moment comes, in one day, he is promoted from the dungeon to the palace in one moment's time. Why? Because he prepared himself. So in this Kronos moment, in this moment of preparation or preparing yourself, this is the time you have to take it seriously. You can't treat it lightheartedly. And the thing is, most people think that all time is an opportune time, and it's not. There are moments in time when doors come open for you and they may never come open again. There are moments of time when someone has favor and extends a hand towards you and wants to supply something for you, and they may never do that again. And if you miss that moment because you treat it lightheartedly, or you treat it like it doesn't matter, or this could happen again next week, you'll miss that moment. It can be life-changing. Don't miss your Kairos moments, but make sure you prepare in the Chronos time. Are you following? Are you getting this? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Can you put that up in New King James for me? Oh, sorry, I didn't tell you. Verse 15, sorry, verse 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Go back to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. I'm going to make you smart tonight. Circumspectly. Have you guys ever used that word before? Is that your normal everyday talks? Walk circumspectly. Well, this word actually in the original language, it means extremely accurate. To walk extremely accurate. So he's like, take heed, be careful, pay attention, be extremely accurate in how you walk and you make your choices. Don't just let life come and you just, whatever the day holds, well, I'll just float over here, float over there. Don't feel like it, so I'm just going to sit instead of doing this. Well, you know, I know they offered this, but I don't think I'm going to do it. Like, think carefully of the decisions that you make. People can be so flippant about their decisions and past opportunities that they have no idea. Sometimes it's so hard because, you know, you're seeing it and you're like, man, they need to take this opportunity. This is their moment. This is their growing moment to give them the tools that they need, and they're passing it by. Walk circumspectly, very accurately, extremely accurate. And then it goes on and says, not as unwise, but as wise, or not as fools, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, or redeeming the time. That phrase, redeeming the time, means this. It means to take full advantage of, to seize the moment, to seize that opportunity. It also means this concept. Have you ever been to a store and there's a great sale, ladies? Or maybe men. You know, you go to Menards or you go to Home Depot, and they just mark down like the best tool set. And you're like, man, it was $250 and now it's marked down to $75 or $50. I'm buying one for me. I'm getting the other one for my dad. I'm buying this one for Uncle Joe. And I'm getting the last one on the shelf because I don't know for who, but I'm going to set it on the shelf because we need to get them all. That's what that word means. Taking advantage of that moment and redeeming. See, we think of redeeming as buying back. But this idea is to take full advantage of the opportunity. Not being half-hearted, not just, well, you know, I think I'll just let it pass. Maybe if it's there later, I'll get it. Not too long ago, there was a business going out of sale, or out of business, and they had these cute, so cute, little measuring cups, that were durable. And Giselle really liked them. And I thought, I'm going to come back here and get her one for her birthday. Well, she already spied it out. She was like, I'm getting these. She bought them all. And I'm like, well, there goes the birthday present. She didn't know that I was going to go back and get them for her, but she went back and got them all, you know, for gifts and stuff like that. But seizing that opportunity, making the most of the moment, that's what God is saying when he says redeem the time. Be discerning about the opportunities that come. Now, does that cost? Sometimes. Because to buy the four tool sets for $75 each is going to cost. I wasn't planning for you know, $300 and some to come out of my pocket that day. But it was worth it because it got me a really good deal. And what happened is it created an opportunity where I actually would have spent less, because at Christmas time I probably would have spent more on buying something for somebody, because then I just got them a really good gift for a lower price. And so what it does is it actually accelerates you. But sometimes we're not always ready for that season because we didn't see it coming. We weren't expecting it. But I got to take advantage of it while it's here. And so those seasons can come, those opportunities can come, but we have to be discerning to see it. How do they come? Well, sometimes God puts you in the proximity of people. Many times it's through people, because value is not in things. What happens to a person that's on their deathbed? What do they always wish they had at that moment? Time. Why? Well, because with time, you can gain everything else. With time, you can make more money. With time, you can use it to spend with somebody that you love. With time, you can ask for forgiveness. With time, you can go back and do something that you really wanted to do. See, time is not something that anyone has ever been able to invent. With all the inventions of the world, no one has been able to invent time. And time is something that's given to every person in equal amounts. We all get 24 hours to the day. Now, we don't all make the same amount of money, and we don't all live in the same kinds of houses or drive the same types of cars. We don't all have the same opportunities available to us, but we all are allotted the same amount of time. And time redeems everything else. See, with time, you can get anything else. So time is precious. How you spend your time, what you do with your time, is so precious. And I know when you're young, you guys that are in high school, college, just starting life, and you think, oh, I have my life ahead of me. And at this moment, you feel like it's so long. You feel like I've got all these years. But it passes quickly. And if these moments come and go without specific decisions being made, even in the daily. See, it's the daily routine of life. That's what builds who you are. That's what prepares you for the Kairos moment. Let me give you four stages of life. Four stages of life. But let me finish this thought first, because I didn't finish this. People, because time is such a valuable resource, it's not a thing. It's not something that you can buy, but you can redeem or seize the opportunity. See, that's how it's purchased. You see the sale, and you take the most opportunity out of that moment. Time is not something you can buy, but you can redeem. You can seize. You can take that opportunity and make the most of it. Now, we understand that not everything if you walked into a kindergarten classroom and there's a 40-year-old person sitting in the desk there, you know something's wrong, right? Like, what are they doing here? He missed his time. He missed his moment. There are going to be some things that you just can't go back and do. You can't redo kindergarten when you're 40. So there will be some things that if we don't get it in a span of time, because it was supposed to happen in that moment of time, that we won't be able to go back and get that same experience, that same moment. So that's why things have to be so discerning, so we don't miss our opportune moment. But it can be in the proximity of people, because in people is when opportunities are made so many times. Where is it at? It's in the heart, in the hands, and the understanding of a person. So many times, the opportunities or the seasons that we are trying to redeem are found in people. See, we can be around. God can place us in the proximity of a person for a season or for a time. And if we don't make the opportunity or seize that opportunity in that span of time, and then, oh, you know, I'm moving over here now. And then we look back later and go, I wish I would have asked more questions. I wish I would have seen that. And like, I'll give you an example. My grandmother right now, she's 90 years old. And she's not thinking right. She's, you know, gotten dementia, and her thoughts are, you know, scattered and not logical. I have asked her questions some over the years of certain things that she did spiritually whenever she was young. Do I wish that I would have asked her more questions when her mind was right? Yes. See, there were Kairos moments when that could have happened, and now it can't. See, there are moments now that I can't go back and have, that I could have had at a certain season or a certain time. See, there are seasons in time that you will not be able to get back. And if you pass those moments, they're gone. And so it's so important for you to discern and see those moments and seize them. The heart, the understanding, in the hands of people. What is in a person that you can get from them, that you can grab a hold of? See, with people come opportunities. With people, see, this mindset of I can do it by myself, that's not a good mindset, because it's with people come open doors. With people come open opportunities. With people come associations. Because you're connected to this person means that you can have a connection to this person that you didn't even know, because they're connected with them. And it can open a door for you because you're connected with them. See, it's not because of how much money you pay necessarily. It's because you value what's in a person. And the thing is, that person does not have to be perfect. Understand that, well, they're like this. They've got this weakness. They've got this flaw. That's fine. We all do, but understand, what do they have? What do they have that I value, and what can I get out of them? They may not be the best, you know, cook, but man, they are really good at maintenance. So I can learn that. You see what I'm saying? They can have certain things that I can glean from, and I don't have to glean everything. It's like corn on the cob. If you've got good ear of corn, you can shuck the thing. You can find, something got into this piece right here. What am I going to do? I'm going to cut that off. Am I going to throw the whole ear out? No. I'm going to eat the rest of that cob. But I'm going to cut the kernels off the end where something got into it. It doesn't mean I throw everything out. People are the same way. You don't have to take everything, but you take what they have that is valuable, that they've become excellent in. Something that they have that you don't yet have. But value that. Okay, I got to get into these so I can wrap up. Four things in life. Four seasons to a man's life. Write this down. The first season. And understand, when I'm talking about seasons, I'm not talking about God's character. God's nature never changes. But what I'm talking about is seasons that are natural in life that happen. There are spiritual seasons. But I'm not saying that God's moody and one moment he's like gracious and the next moment he's like ready to smack you and then the next moment, I'm feeling good today, so I'm going to bless you. I'm not talking about that. God is, he's a loving God and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His nature does not change. We can read the word of God and know his nature. So he's not up and down. This has to do with the cycle of seasons of life and the things that are naturally in place, the times and the seasons that we already discussed, okay? Seasons to a man's life. The first one is age. And understand, when I'm giving these ages, they're roundabout, okay? It doesn't mean as soon as you have this birthday that you're just automatically in this next season, okay? So don't get all, you know, oh, gosh, I just turned this and I'm not seeing that, you know. So 0 to 25 is the first stage. This is what you would call like your morning. If you're going to divide your day up, this is your morning stage. When you're 0 to 25, it's the receiving and learning stage. This is the receiving and learning stage. This is the moment of time when you should be receiving and learning as much as you can. You should be learning the principles of the kingdom of God. You should be reading. You should be gaining wisdom and knowledge. Understanding your God. Understanding your purpose. Knowing who he is. See, the thing that has come against this generation is comfort. And you know what comfort does? It steals all of those things. Because comfort says, I want to sleep all the time. Comfort says, I want to hang out on my phone. Comfort says, I want to play video games. I want to be on social media. Comfort says, I don't feel like it. Comfort says, I want to eat. You know, I broke this down. This is very interesting. Listen to this. If you sleep 8 hours a day for 25 years, you have slept 8 hours, 8.3 hours of your life. So by the time you're 25 years old, you've slept 8.3 hours of your life. If you spend half of that time, 4 hours a day, on social media, video games, TV, and I know that's a low number for a lot of people, 4 hours is not actually high in comparison to what the average actually is. But if you spend half that time playing video games, social media, TV, any kind of screen time, that's an extra 4 years of your life. If you spend 2 hours a day eating, well, that's an extra two years. So you know how much of our 25 years that we've wasted by the time we're 25 years old? 14 years. 14 years. Now, I understand that you need sleep. I'm not saying everybody needs to go home and make themselves stay awake. You need, your body needs rest, so I'm not saying that. But sometimes we can go to a chair, I'm tired, I'm lazy, I just want to kick back, I don't want to do anything. And we can be gravitated towards this idea of sleep instead of making ourselves get up and get to work. Get up and do this. The other day I was like, man, I'm tired, because a lot of times I'm sitting when I'm studying, when I'm praying, when I'm doing these things, I'm sitting a lot of times, or if I'm reading, so I have to make myself like get up sometimes and go outside, and I just walked around the yard because it was like I'm physically like getting drained by sitting. But 14 years, that's over half of the 25 years. Just in what? Comfort. See, the attraction to comfort can be an enemy that we have to fight, because it will steal your purpose and it will take you away from opportunities that come. This morning stage, this 0 to 25, these are the times that you should get saved. These are the moments you should be saved. If you're in church, you should already have given your heart to the Lord. You should be filled with the Holy Ghost. You should be praying. You should be spending time with him. You should be reading your word. You should be asking God, what is my purpose in the will that you have given for me to live out? Now I need to begin to look and start building strategic relationships, not relationships with everybody. Relationships with strategic people that will help me to promote that fulfillment in my life of what God has called me to do. Because if not, if I'm just taking any old relationship that's around me, it's not necessarily a benefit and it can actually hold me back. See, most people build relationships by wherever they're around, whatever school they're going to, whatever they happen to do every single day, whoever they work with. But that doesn't mean that that's what's best for your life. Most people put no thought into their relationships. But relationships, the five average people that you spend the most time with is what you will look like. And if you look at them, are they going anywhere? Are they doing anything with their life? Do they have vision? Do they have plans? Do they nurture the same values as you? Because they will have an impact. Are you strategic with who you're around and who you allow into your life? It's very important. This is the time when you need to be gaining a ton of wisdom from the Word, because these wisdom principles will guide your life. This is the time that you can make a massive investment in your life, because you have extra time. You have a lot of extra time in this span. Why? Because you live with mom and dad. Because they're taking care of a lot of stuff for you. They're taking care of all the financial stuff most of the time. So you can bank money to save up for that home or for your future, whatever it is that your goals are. Do most people want to make that decision and that sacrifice? No. Do they wish they would have when they get to that point? Yeah. Nobody's speaking from experience. We all know this stuff. Any person that does not respect or encourage or strengthen the calling upon your life should be disqualified from being an associate with you. Because if not, they can be a hindrance to your future and possibly derail you completely. That's how important your associations are, your friendships, your relationships. What is it that you want to be? What is it that you're called to do? I'm not saying that everybody's called to ministry. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you know that you want to be the best mechanic there is, the best chef there is, make sure you're a godly chef. Make sure you're a Christian chef. Make sure you're connecting your purpose with God. But then you also find people that know how to do that, and you learn from them. Don't have an attitude of, I'll figure it out myself, I already know. Because you'll hold yourself back. Impartation is one of the greatest things you can have. It opens doors for you. Number two, the second one is the 26 to 50 years. This is the stage of execution. 26 to 50 years. This is the stage of execution. This is when you should have gained the wisdom, gained the understanding of what you want to do. Now you're hitting it hard, you're going after it. I'm connecting my purpose with God. I've gained the wisdom. I didn't waste my years. I'm not going to sit around and just let life happen and then whatever happens, happens. I'm just taking any old job to just make any old money. Like I am being diligent and very aware of how I'm making decisions. This is considered the afternoon stage, when the sun is high noon. And after, the full daylight, it's the age when you're starting to really take off and run. Now, does it mean that you shrug everybody off now? No, absolutely not, because these strategic relationships that you begin to build should connect you with also greater relationships. You should be surrounding yourself with others that have the same goal in mind now. You should be building upon your skill, your gifting, your calling. Joseph was 30 years old when he began to rule the land. Jesus was 30 years old when he began to be called into the ministry and begin to walk those things out. In these moments of time, these Kairos moments will come up. And they can launch you and accelerate you and put a speed on your life that you wouldn't have found otherwise. Now, if you have found yourself in this stage of life and maybe you didn't get saved until later, don't let that discourage you. It just means you're going to have a greater grace upon your life, and you're going to have to invest more time, and you're going to have to invest more energy to get these things in you. Because someone that starts at 30 or 40 and just gets saved and they're just now getting the principles of God in them, it's going to take them longer. But it doesn't mean that it can't be done. And if you work hard and you're diligent and you stay after the heart of God, he will open up opportunities for you when the time is ready for that Kairos moment. But don't try to seek that stage or that platform before he, don't try to open it up yourself. And try to announce, da-da-da-da, here I am to do the thing, you know? Like, let God announce you. Let God do the announcing. And when that Kairos moment comes up, then you just step into that open door. But until then, what do? You prepare yourself. You prepare yourself in that Kronos moment. You prepare yourself and you work on everything to do with the wisdom of God, the keys of the kingdom, the heart of having a godly heart and a godly purpose. The warning I would give in this stage is be careful in these years of the 26 to 50 that you don't have the attitude that I've arrived. Because the deception is, if you have the attitude, I've arrived, because a lot of times in our youthfulness, we can think, I've got my moment, here it is, I'm here, I have arrived. And we can still miss moments. We can still get prideful and think that we don't have anything to gain from anyone else. And then we will put ourselves in a position where we aren't gaining the wisdom and we just keep doing the same thing that we've learned now for 25 years. And then we don't learn anything new. And then when the seasons shift and the seasons change and it's no longer this way, and if we weren't paying attention to the wisdom of God and the things he's telling us to do, then we can begin to fall and deflate and miss our moment. So we have to pay attention. That's what was happening with Joseph. He said these 7 years are going to be eaten up by these lean years, and it's going to be like these good years didn't even exist. This good season that you're getting ready to go into, it's not going to last forever. So you got to be wise in your decisions now. And if you save 20% now, then you will build the system and build the bridge as if the season's not existing, because you will have created a wisdom from God to overcome it. That's why we have to stay connected and stay humble. The next one is the evening stage, which is age 51 to 75 years. 51 to 75 years. This is the stage of legacy and the stage of expansion. The stage of legacy and expansion. This is the moment when you begin to pour into other people what you have gained in wisdom and in knowledge, in values, in godly understanding. See, the expansion isn't about materialistic things. It's about what you can impart. It's the legacy that you leave behind in someone else when you're gone. If you have others that are coming in behind, that's why I tell people, multiply, multiply, multiply. It's not about you having all the skills and then there's no one there learning it from you. The legacy stage is you passing it off, and you've got people that are behind you learning from you so they can take the higher step than where you went. Because this, even Kings, has got to continue on for the generations after when we're gone, should the Lord tarry. It's not about a platform of any one person, and then it just dies with a person. It continues on. With who? Those that have followed behind and learned what it's about. Learned what is happening. Those that have gone before me. Those that have been men of God, women of God, that I can glean from, learn from, that I can get the wisdom from, the impartation, the understanding, and now I can go further. See, with every generation, even this generation spiritually has more than 100 years ago. We have so much more understanding, and there's been spiritual things that have been opened up in the spirit realm over the last 100 years. So what we have available now is more than 100, 200, 300 years ago. Yeah, 10 years. The last one is the stage of rest, which is 76 and on, to the time that you go home to be with the Lord. Rest. Now, it doesn't mean that, I don't mean like you're dead, like you're resting in a grave. What I'm meaning is you're resting in the things that you have invested in. I look at Dr. Morocco's life. He's just now entering into that stage. He's 75 years old. He's still going, though. And he's like, no, we're still expanding. I'm still leaving the legacy. He's like, I'm staying in the legacy stage, by golly. But he's still investing. He's still expanding. He's still mentoring every single day. And so the thing that you've invested in, see, you have, in order to receive from a person, you have to invest in a person. If you've not invested in them, then you can't expect to have their heart. You can't expect anything from them. And you're not doing it for that reason. You're doing it because you love the Lord, that you invest in people. That person may never pay you back for anything, and that is totally fine. You're doing it for the Lord. But there will be those that surround you and help you in your latter years because you invested in your youth, in your younger years, in your years of expansion, or in your years of legacy. It's why I started Legacy University. Because my heart was to pass on not just biblical knowledge, but knowledge that would help people overcome in marriage, in home, in children, in finances, in the things. And I pray that every one of those people goes further than me. But our heart, our job is to pass on. But it starts, young people, with the stage that you're in now, is you cannot miss those kairos moments. You've got to have a discerning heart. And when someone offers something, extend something, just because it may require sacrifice, less sleep, something in your life, don't think that it's not something that you're not supposed to do. Even familiarity. People write things off because, that's just Bob. Bob's got, you know, this other weakness or thing or whatever. So I don't receive from Bob anymore. There are people that have certain expertise that I will call, there are even people that their Christian life is not impeccable. But boy, do they know construction. And I'll call them for that purpose. And I'll get their wisdom around it for that purpose. Now, I'm not going to call them for spiritual advice, but I will call them around their areas of expertise. So don't just write people off. Because everything that is valuable is hidden in a person. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. You know, I remember when, and I'll tell you this, young people, because a lot of times young people think, oh, I've got plenty of time, you know, preparation, and I'll do it later when I'm 26. Because do you realize the word teenager didn't even come about until the last century? Kids went from being young, 12, 13 years old, into adulthood. And most cultures have a rite of passage that they do where, like, the men go out in the woods and they have to kill something and come back with the heart or something. I don't know. Anyway, the culture, most of the time, they're sending them out and then they come home and they're a man. They're considered a man in the tribe or a man in the community. And in American culture, we have created this idea of teenagers where they get so many years, 10 years of just no expectation. Oh, you just sit around and, you know, I want my kids to just be kids. There's nothing wrong with having fun. Have fun. Play hard. But when it's time to work, work hard. When it's time to invest, invest hard. Do everything with your whole life, your whole heart. When you're with the people in your family, be with them. Don't be on your phone. Don't be 3 hours sitting with a group of people. When our children were with their friends or with family time, they were not allowed to just sit and scroll on their phone. You know, there were times when there were other kids in the room, everybody else was on their phone, and our kids were not allowed to do that. I'm like, no, get off. Well, everybody else is, it doesn't matter. I don't care. You be in the moment. Live in the moment and enjoy those people that are around you and be there for them, with them. Experience life with them. Don't shrug them off. Don't treat them as invaluable, and don't treat this moment as invaluable, because it won't be here forever. You won't have this moment forever. And so many times we look at this stage and just think that we should expect nothing. It's their time to cruise. This is the time to build. This is the time to build who you are, to build your integrity, to build your gifting, to build your skill, to know what God has called you to do. This is your moment, kids, youth, teenagers, young adults. This is your moment. This is your moment to even do hard things. To buckle down and say, I have more time now. I can pray more now. Because when I'm 40 and I'm leading something, I may not have that time. When I'm 40 and I'm responsible for a family, I may not have all this time to get the word in me. You do it now. You invest now. And God sees it. And he says, man, this boy, this girl, they're diligent. They've went after me. I'm going to open some doors up for them. But when those doors come, don't bypass them and think, not a big deal. Know the moment. Know the moment. Know that Kairos moment. Zane, when he was 12 years old, I remember we would start, maybe a little bit, 14. We would start going to staff meetings at King's. A room full of pastors. He had a call on his life to preach. You know where he wanted to be? Dad. Dad, can I go to the staff meeting? Dad, can I go and sit in the staff meeting? Absolutely. We went to an increase banquet that had to do with finances and had to do with managing like money and managing your investments and managing your time and your calling. Well, there were a lot of speakers, but he was one of them. Bob Harrison put it on. But all three of our children were there. They were the only kids in the room. But they sat there. They had their own table right in front of us, and they sat there and they took notes. Why? Because I had taught them that. In homeschool, they knew to take notes. They knew to take every opportunity at that moment. So our children today, they're on the front row. What do? They take notes. Why? Because we taught them. Make the most of the opportunity. Do not bypass the moment. Abraham saw the angels and he was, the Lord was getting ready to pass by. He says, don't pass me by. Know the moment. And see, it just looks like a conference. It just looks like a staff meeting. It just looks like no big deal. They're giving you knowledge and information that could be a key that unlocks something for you for the rest of your life. It could be a time when you meet someone that bridges another opportunity. See, it's not about trying to make it happen. It's about setting yourself in the right positions, receiving, and allowing the Lord to do the work. Did you get something tonight?
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.